I hope you're having a good weekend. Amen. It's a good weekend to celebrate. Amen. It's a good time to celebrate our nation. And it's always good to do that. Amen. We are truly blessed. We really are. In spite of all that's going on, we are truly blessed. This is the best place to live. I'm going to live anywhere. I'm going to choose to live in this nation. Praise God. Amen. It's the best place to live by far. Before we celebrate our independence this past week, and we celebrate our independence, and that's a good thing from Britain and all the things that they were doing way back then. But I thank God for how our country was founded, how it began, how it started, praise God, on that Judeo-Christian ethic of laws and functions. And I love what it says in our declaration where all men are created equal. And I was reading that this week. And I looked at that and I said, God, I know we haven't attained that yet. That all men are created equal. I know that's in our heart, but we haven't attained that yet because I was just praying to find out that our America is not a destination. It's a journey. It really is. It's a journey of making the best we can every single day, doing the best we can every single day, trusting God every single day. We are truly a blessed nation. We really are. I mean, even the poorest among us by the world standard is rich compared to what's going on in the world. We see and hear some horrendous things going on in the world. And I think as a nation and as a church, we could chew gum and walk at the same time. What I mean by that is we can celebrate our nation, whatever, and we can make corrections to our nation at the same time, praise God. Amen. We can do both. Amen. We can celebrate and thank God for a blessed nation that we have. I'd rather live no place else in Jesus' name. Amen. But at the same time, we could make corrections. We could fix what needs to be fixed. We could change what needs to be changed. We could correct what needs to be corrected, praise God. We can do that at the same time. We can multitask. It's not one or the other. We can appreciate Atlanta. We can fix what needs to be fixed. But as we do that, I don't want to succumb, as we spoke for the last few weeks. I'm not going to succumb to lawlessness, but we're going to stay in the paths that lead to true and long-lasting change. I think it's important that we never lose sight of where we've been. That's so important, that we never lose sight of where we've been. Good, bad, and different. We never lose sight of where we've been, because to do that, it shows us how far we've come, and we have come very, very far. But in light of that also, we realize, too, how much farther we have yet to go, where we have yet to go. And that's okay. That's three part of it. But I think the bigger problem is this. We have to look at something that we as a nation, we've sinned against God. We have sinned. There's a lot of issues going on, but when it comes to our church and when it comes to things of God, we have to realize that, wait a minute, we as a nation have sinned and we've got to turn. I believe it's not too late for our country. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that as we pray for a spiritual awakening, for the Holy Spirit to move, I believe that God can do that. But we've got to pray. We've got to admit where we are right now and choose. It's not too late for 2 Chronicles 7:14. That if we cry out to God and turn from our ways and humble ourselves and pray that he'll heal our land. I believe it's not too late for that, praise God. That we have great hope if we do it together, praise God. Because a house divided cannot stand. A church, a country divided cannot stand. I believe Psalm 33, verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. If we turn and make a God our Lord again with a forthright effort, praise God, he'll bless, he'll take care, he'll heal our nation. He's not done with us yet. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Let's deal with the sin of a nation. Let's deal with that. Turning from God and the things we see today. And let's pray, God, let's get back into righteousness. He'll take care of us as we seek righteousness, as we seek what's right. He'll take care of us. He'll exalt the nation. He'll lift us where we need to be, praise God. So today, I just want to share a little bit that we celebrate our nation. Absolutely. We celebrate in a lot of ways. We're aware of yesterday, no doubt about it. We're thankful for today. Thank you, Lord. But we're hopeful for tomorrow, what God's going to do. If we get our head straight and praise him, amen, do the right thing, amen. So I just want to share that with you, praise God. But I really want to speak about today, where we are. In Acts 27, I like the story in Acts 27 where Paul was in that storm. Paul was on his way to Rome. And there's so much in that story. I just want to go over a couple of things today that I think apply to us where we are right now. So if you turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 27, I want to speak about what I call the church in the storm. The church in the storm. Paul was about to go to Rome. He was sent. He was in the process of being sent by God to Rome, that God wanted Paul to witness at Rome. He wanted him to go to Rome and witness at Rome. So the destination was guaranteed. Paul was going to Rome. One way or another, Paul was going to Rome. God was going to get him there. How he got him there is a whole different story. How he got him there was no easy trick. No, it wasn't a really direct route where he was sitting on the Queen Mary and having pina coladas and going off to Italy. No, it wasn't that. It was a kind of a rough road that Paul was on. But the bottom line is, if God said it, God was going to get him there. Okay? So listen, if God says something, that's it. There's no discussion. If God says something, end of story. Go with it, obey it, believe it, whatever we need to do. We don't have to barter, go back and forth, analyze it. If he says it, that's what's going to be. So we need to accept that in our heart. Amen? But in this journey that Paul was taking on this ship, there's a couple of things that I think apply to us. I'm going to read from the NLT today. I like what it says about this particular storm. But let's go to verse 1 in Acts chapter 27, right in verse 1. I'm going to read verses 1 to 3 to start us off. Okay, in Acts 27, it says, "When the time came," again, reading out of the NLT, "when the time came, we set sail for Italy." I think some of my relatives were on that boat. "Paul and several other prisoners were placed in the custody of a Roman officer named Julius, a captain of the imperial regiment. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was also with us. We left on a ship whose home port was Adramyttium on the northwest coast of the province of Asia, and it was scheduled to make several stops at ports along the coast of the province. The next day," verse 3, "the next day we docked at Sidon. Julius was very kind to Paul and let him go ashore to visit with friends so they could provide for his needs." And let's stop right there. The first point I want to make is this. Here's this Roman guy, Julius. And from talking to Paul, and maybe Paul was witness to him, he liked Paul. And the word says he was kind to Paul. This whole story starts out with kindness. He was kind to Paul, and he gave Paul some time to be with his friends so they could meet his needs, they could nourish him and take care of him. And I love that he was kind to Paul. This whole journey starts out with somebody being kind. And I look at that and says, Lord God, are we kind to each other? Are we kind? Do we start out our journey with each other kind to each other, Lord? Caring for each other, esteeming one another more highly than ourselves. I know we say that a lot, but do we really believe it? And do we really live it? Let me be kind to my brothers and sisters. And sometimes, unfortunately, listen, sometimes we're not. Sometimes I catch myself not being kind sometimes. I catch myself being a little hard sometimes, a little dramatic sometimes. I catch that. I try, Lord God, you got to change that in me. But think for a second, how are we doing being kind to one another? We're going to get into some other important points, but I want to start there. And sometimes, listen, I think I said a couple of weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken, that's why I would ask you to review some of the sermons of the past few weeks, because it's on a pretty much theme of sometimes we don't see each other. Remember, I spoke about that. Sometimes we don't see each other because we get so busy, or we get caught up in our causes, we get caught up in so many things, we don't see each other. And if we don't see each other, how are we going to be kind to each other? Being kind means seeing each other and being sensitive to what other people are going through. Being sensitive to, as much as we know, to what other people are going through, and taking that into consideration when we speak to them or when we share something, when we talk to them. But sometimes we can be pretty hard sometimes. I was looking briefly on some comments on Facebook Live, not Facebook Live, but on Facebook, people share one another. And I was looking at some things, and boy, we could be pretty hard with each other on some things we say on Facebook to each other. We could be pretty hard. And what I mean by that is sometimes we put a comment out there or a comment on somebody's comment that they commented on, and all of a sudden it gets so hard. And what happened is stinking kindness. What happened is just respecting somebody. And because when you comment on a comment and a comment on a comment, you're just putting something out there, you have no idea how the person's taking it. You have no idea the intonation on it. That's like I tell Pastor Bob all the time when we email text back and forth. Sometimes, let's not text, because you don't get the flavor of something when you just read the black and white letters on the page there. But we've got to be kind to one another and weigh out what we say. Weigh out maybe the impact of what we say on each other. And we've got to be kind, because sometimes we're not. And sometimes maybe even not meaning to. Sometimes we hurt and we're abrasive. And sometimes we say something that could really just make someone feel just so bad or so wrong. No. Weigh out what we say. Put out what we say. And I know it's important to say what we say. I'm not saying, pull back. No, say what. But be kind to one another. Be sensitive to who's going to read that and how they may take this, and to be as sensitive as we can, praise God. Amen. I know sometimes I'll write a devotion, do something, and I try to consider, well, if somebody's reading this, how can they take this? And I try to cover as many bases as I can. I know we can't stop everybody from feeling a certain way, but as best we can, let's be kind to one another, amen? and let's be sensitive to one another, and let's watch what we post and watch what we say on there, and watch how we comment on somebody's comment who commented on this, and then we commented on that. Watch that, because we're responsible for what we say and what we think, praise God, amen? So let's be kind, and I thank God that Julius was kind to Paul, a great thing that he did, to see each other. I'm looking at this scripture here, and I see that verse 2, Paul gets on a ship. He gets on a ship called the Adramyttan ship, a far country, and they're going. And I look at verse 6. Hold on. I look at verse 6, and it says that they changed ships. In verse 2, they were on a ship to Adramyttan, okay? Then in verse 6, they had to get on a ship to an Alexandrian ship. It was a cargo ship, an Alexandrian ship. And I look at that and say, well, why did they change ships? I mean, didn't they have the plan going? Because most of the ships traveled to Italy at that time. And I still look at that, and it's amazing. Sometimes we got to change ships. Sometimes what got you to some place is not going to get you where God needs you to be. Amen? So sometimes there's got to be a change sometimes. And sometimes you got to say, listen, what I've been doing, what I've been saying, what I've been thinking got me here, but it's not going to get me where I need to be. So what in me has got to change? What in my life has got to be different? Where do I need to change ships in my life? Well, how do I need to maybe think differently? How do I need to maybe act differently? What I need to do is to say differently. And sometimes God's saying, I want to change that thing in your heart. I want to change something in you. We can't just be the same. Listen, the Christian life is continual growth, isn't it? I don't want to be the same like I was 5 years ago. I don't want to be the same like I was last year. I don't want to be the same like I was yesterday. I don't. My prayer is, God, every day, change me, God, grow me. You know, some things are major, yeah. Some things are little tiny things, like maybe being kind, being more sensitive. But maybe what God is saying by the example of Paul changing ships is maybe saying to some of us, you've got to change your ship right now, because it's not going to get you where I need you to be. And that means, what changes am I working in your life? What changes am I working in your heart? And don't be closed to change, because God change is always good. Man's change may not be good. But when God wants to change something, it's always good, praise God, amen? And so maybe what is God asking you in your life right now to change? Maybe some situations he's allowing in your life. Some people he's allowing to come into, even some of the problems that he's allowed. What's he trying to get at in our heart? Lord God, are you trying to change maybe a hardness of heart, or maybe a bitterness here, God? Or maybe, God, there's a calling you have for me, God, and you're stirring the pot a little bit right now, Lord God. And I'm facing a time of change. So maybe we need to think about it. Maybe in some ways, as Paul changed ships, because God was going to get him to Italy, but he had to change some things. Maybe go before God and say, God, what are you asking me to change, God? What do you show me in my life, God? Thank you, that it was good. It got me where I am, God. Thank you, that was real good. But it's not going to get me where I need to be, Lord God. And we talk about that even in leadership in church. Listen, church has been great. God got us here. But what is God calling us to do in the next weeks, in the next months, in the next year? What changes is God bringing, praise God? And we got to be open to that. And I tell our people all the time, don't be afraid of change. Let's thrive in change. Let's not feel weird about it. Let's thrive in change, amen? Because God change is always good. Maybe what's God putting on your heart? They're saying, this has got to change. This has got to change. He'll work it out. Just trust him. He'll work it out. But I think we have to go before him and say, okay, God, let's do it. A dumb old story that I heard a long time ago, it's a crazy story, and I don't know who first came up with it, but I learned it a long time ago when I got saved in New Jersey. My first pastor gave this story about why sometimes we do things, and it's about change. And if you remember, it was a story about, if I get it right, it's a story about this guy whose his wife is cooking a ham. And she's cooking a ham, some kind of big meat, and she cuts off the two ends. You remember that story? Where she cuts off the two ends, okay? And so the guy's watching his wife cook the meal, and she cuts off the two ends of the ham and puts it in the oven. So he says, honey, why are you cutting off the two ends of the ham? And says, well, I thought my mother did that. My mother did that. So the mother came over for dinner later, said, Mom, she's learning how to cook the ham from you. She said, you taught her how to cut off the two ends of the ham before you put it in the oven. And said, yeah, I learned that from my mother. And just so happens, the great-grandmother's there, so he goes to her for the family dinner. Said, great-grandma, everybody's cutting off the ham. Why? Does it help to taste better, the juices, whatever? And she says, no, I learned that from my mother. Well, I can't go to her. She is in heaven right now. Said, do you know why they did that? So the great-mother goes, yeah, because back then we had really small stoves, and we couldn't fit the ham in the stove, so we had to cut the end off. And so sometimes we do things and we don't realize that we do, but something's got to change. We realize what's truly going on. Amen. So look, let's cut the ham. Amen. Amen. Everything changes for a reason. Amen. So here's Paul in verse 9. Here's Paul in verse 9. And Paul's now getting underway, and he says something so amazing. In verse 9, he says, we had lost a lot of time. The weather was becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was so late in the fall. And Paul spoke to the ship's officers about it. And he said in verse 10, he says, men, he said, so I believe there's trouble ahead. If we go on a shipwreck, there's going to be loss of cargo and danger to our lives as well. So here comes Paul. I believe probably a word from God warning. And Paul knew about shipwrecks. Listen, three times he sunk in the deep. He was hanging on board. He knew about shipwrecks. He's been in the ocean a whole long time, hanging on a couple 2x4s. So he knew it wasn't a time to sail. So he speaks up and he goes to the captain and stuff like that. He goes, hey, listen, there's trouble. Don't sail now. Just wait for better weather. Just wait till it clears up a little bit. Okay, right now is not the season. They got all these winds out there. And they didn't listen. And Proverbs 14:12 says, we'll have it up on the screen. It says, there's always a way that seems right to a man, but in the end is the way of death. See, when we don't consult God, we think that this way may be right for us. And sometimes God says, wait, it's not the time to set out to sea. It's fall, the winds are coming. Hold off right now. And see, sometimes God, because he loves us, he goes to us and says the same thing. He warns us of some things ahead, whatever his direction may be. But he warns us, not now, wait, go now, do this, do that. How often do we listen to what God is saying to us and kind of seek his counsel? God, what do you want me to do, Lord God? Which way should I go, Lord God? Is this my will or your will, Lord God? And I found out that if we simply ask a question, God, is this my will or your will? He'll answer that. He'll answer that because he wants us to be in his will sometimes more than we want his will. So stop for a second, God, what we're about to do, what I'm about to do, go, say, whatever it may be, God, is this you or me, Lord God? Because sometimes we get in the way. Sometimes we're so need-driven that we see need that we got to do it. And God says, well, wait a minute, the need is there, but I may have someone else for that. You hold off. And we got to say, God, okay, what is your will for me in this situation, Lord God? Because they didn't listen. They didn't listen. Why didn't they listen? Look at verse 11. They didn't listen because of this. But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and to the owner than to Paul. You got to be careful who you listen to, especially in these days. Who do you let speak into your life? You've got to be very discerning. We spoke about that, I think, last week or the week before. You've got to be very discerning. Who do you allow to speak into your life? See, Paul went to the captain in the ship and said, listen, guys, don't sail now. I've been around for a while. I've been shipwrecked. Now's not the time. Just hold off. Why don't you go winter somewhere and hold off? And they said, well, here Julius, the centurion, he goes to the captain of the ship and he goes to this owner. Now, listen, it was a cargo ship. What were they interested in? Profit. They weren't interested in people. They were interested in profit. They had their own agenda. Watch out for those around you that have their own agenda and not God's agenda, that they would seek the things of God. They didn't listen to Paul. Why? Because they weren't thinking safety. There wasn't thinking that. They were thinking, you got to get to Rome. We got all this weed in here. I got all this cargo. I got to get to Rome in there. See, who do you allow to speak into your life? Especially in times of crisis, as we face now, especially in chaotic times. There are so many voices, aren't there? There are so many voices. Are you sure you got God's voice? Get God's voice. Because his sheep will hear him through submission and surrender. His sheep will hear his voice. And when you hear his voice, that's what you do. That's what you go. But there's so many voices out there that want to speak into our lives. So many voices. Do we hear his voice above all? Is that our desire? Because we get so easily swayed. I mean, we're so easily swayed. We got, you know, there's so many people that have a good charisma. They got a good rap. They sound good. They look good in showtime. And man, that can be so off. I remember so many times in the past seeing a pastor or maybe a leader in a church and just being so showtimey, you know, just being so loud and so dramatic and so, I mean, and people just swallowing this garbage up because the presentation is good, but it was all garbage. It was all God, not even God's word, but the presentation was good and loud and demanding and boisterous, and everybody's drinking the grape juice. And no one's really saying, well, wait a minute, does that line up with God's word? Because the voice was so disguised by a good presentation. Watch out for that. Watch out. Always weigh according to God's word. If it ain't in here, don't receive it. And watch out that people would twist it and do things. Watch out for that. So be careful, especially as we speak now, who we really listen to in situations. So they set out in verse 13. They set out on this trip here, you know, church in a storm. They set out on this trip. In verse 13, something happens. And in verse 13, it says, when a light wind began to blow from the south, the sailors thought they could make it. So they pulled up anchor and sailed close to the shore of Crete. So here's this little window. The sailors got together. Paul, you're crazy. You got a nice light wind going now, Paul. Paul, you're nuts. You don't know what you're talking about. You're a preacher, man. We're sailors. You don't know. So they step out apart from God's counsel. And in the beginning, it's pretty good. In the beginning, it looks kind of not bad. See, you were wrong, Paul. You were wrong, somebody. It's not bad right now. A nice breeze is blowing, and they got far enough into the Mediterranean Sea. They got far enough away from the shoreline. And then, the trap falls in verse 14. But, every time you see that but, that means things are about to happen. But the weather changed abruptly. Boom! Boom. If you've ever been out on the sea, weather can change on a dime. Amen? And the weather changed abruptly, and the wind of typhoon strength called Northeaster, Euryclodon, burst across the island and blew us out to sea. The devil is so stinking smart. When we're going against God's word, going against God's counsel, going against, in the beginning, it's going to have that little honeymoon time where it's not too bad. See, you were wrong, Pastor Andrew. You're wrong, Pastor Bob. You're wrong, Paul. Look how good it is right now. Until the wind changes abruptly. Oh, I can't tell you so many times in my office doing marriage counseling. We want to get married here. Well, I'm not getting married. This guy is not saved. Well, we want to get married. Well, this guy isn't. No. They get married. Some go someplace else. Another church get married. Hi, Pastor. We're doing great. We're doing good. That's so nice. We're on a honeymoon. Here's a picture of us on the beach, and it's so nice, and it's whatever. And I see somebody a year later says, "How you guys doing?" "Well, we're not together anymore. We're not there." That north wind closed on them. See, watch out for that. Watch out for that honeymoon period, where we're in absolute disobedience to the word of God. The devil will pull you far enough away from the island, away from the safety of the shore. He'll get you, he'll blow you out to sea a little bit, where there ain't no turning around. It's what he did to the prodigal. Remember the story of the prodigal? We said this many times. As long as a prodigal was in the father's house, the devil couldn't touch a prodigal. He was in that house. What did the devil do? Come on out. Come on out. Look at all these women, look at all this wine, you got money, look, you be popular, look, you go to the bars and hang out and have a good time. Come on out. Just a little bit more, that's good. A little bit more, just come on out. Boom. Got far enough away from his father's house. And Euryclodon, the northeaster came, boom, and just fell right in on him. See, watch out for that, people. Not only young people, but all of us. When we decide not to listen to God and listen to our own self, our own heart, you'll have that honeymoon period where you'll step out a little bit and it won't be bad until, boom, it blows you far enough out to sea where you're in the middle of that thing and you don't know whatever happened. Sometimes the church is like that. God wants to direct us as a church, his church in general. And sometimes the church decides to go its own way, to follow the world rather than follow God. And we get caught in those traps. Watch who you listen, that soft wind. And what did man do? Verse 17. They're in the middle of this storm. They're going crazy in the middle of 17. And what did God say? Verse 17, it says, then the sailors, now it's a pretty big storm. And then the sailors bound ropes around the hull of the ship to strengthen it. They were afraid of being driven across the sandbars of Syrtis off the African coast. So they lowered the sea anchor to slow the ship and were driven before the wind. Now, here's the response of man. the ship's starting to break up. Wind's blowing all over. What do? They get these big ropes, and somehow they go around the whole ship. They let one end down. They pull it across. They try to wrap. They wrap the whole ship around with these three or four huge ropes. Sometimes they call them chains, but these ropes. And they bind the ship so it doesn't fall apart. Somehow they threw one end overboard. They pulled it underneath the ship. They came up and they tied it on top, kind of like they wrapped it in a couple of ropes. And that's man's response. I got to hold it all together. Amen? I blew it. It was breaking apart. But somehow, I got to hold it all together. Rather than going before God and say, God, I repent, God, change my heart, God. What do we tend to do? We tend to take control. and what do? We got to hold it all together. We blew it. We know it's sin. It's blowing up in our face. A storm is here. But what do? Naturally do as humans. First, we need to call upon God, but when we don't do that, we undergird our ships, and we have to take care of everything. We have to control it. We put the ropes around our marriages, our families, our jobs, everything that we disobeyed God on, and now we're finding ourselves that we got to hold it all together. Meanwhile, we're saying, shouldn't listen to God. Shouldn't listen to God. He would have held it together. When God holds it together, we don't have to put ropes around it, praise God. When God holds it together, it's together forever, praise God. Amen. But see, watch out. Sometimes we take control back. And when we make a mistake, when we sin, when we don't listen to God and things blow up, our first response is, we got to hold it all together. How many wives are holding it all together? How many husbands are holding it all together? Oh, my Lord. And sometimes even it tries to even fall upon me as a pastor that I have to hold it all together. Oh, man, I used to think that I have to hold it all together. When I was doing that, I was negating God. And boy, did he get a hold of me. Boy, did he get a hold of me. He says, stop being God. I am. Say, okay, get my hands off it. Okay. That I don't have to hold it all together. I was in counseling one time, and a woman was speaking to me about her thing was she was holding it all together. All the weight of the family and everything was falling upon in her. And she says, I can't carry this weight anymore. And I very simply said, let it go. Stop holding it all together. Stop trying to hold something that you were never meant to hold. And says, well, what if it falls? And let it fall. God's a big God. He knows how to pick it up. God's a big God. He knows what he's doing, praise God. You were never meant to carry that load. And sometimes we heard from the story that we try to hold it all together. Man's attempt to control things. And we can't do that. We can't do that. So here's a hard situation in verse 18. The next day, the gale-force winds continued to batter the ship, and the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. Following the next day, even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. The terrible storm raged, verse 20, for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars, until at last all hope was gone. The result of man's ways. All hope was gone. They threw out everything they could throw out overboard and blotting out the sun and the stars. Listen, they should navigate by the sun and the stars. So what he's saying here, we lost our sense of direction. We didn't know where the heck we were. We got turned around in the storm. We were in a direction at one time. Now, because of the storm, we lost the sun and stars. We can't navigate our direction anymore. So we lost our direction. We lost our purpose. We lost our path. We lost our way. Now what do? And they cried out, all hope is gone. In other words, we're dead. We're going under. That's it. All hope was gone. And sometimes that's the result of man's ways. All hope is gone because, man, we don't have the capabilities of solving these problems. We don't have the capabilities, unless we listen to God, of going through this unscathed. All hope is gone. How many people do you know in our world today where they can say the same thing? They feel so hopeless. That all hope is gone to change a nation. All hope is gone to fix this problem. All hope is gone in our marriage. All hope is gone in our finance. All hope is gone with my kids who are so far away from the Lord that it feels like all hope is gone. Every time I pray, they get worse and worse. Every time I try to work in my marriage, it gets worse and worse. Every time I pray for our nation, it seems to be getting worse and worse. All hope is gone. Do you ever feel like that at some point in your life where you just felt all the hope just kind of came out of you, like letting out the air in a balloon? All the hope just went, and you're just empty. Man, you're just empty. Situations in life, problems, trouble, whatever it is, storms, trying to hold it all together, undergird the ship. trying to do all this stuff, and sometimes it's like, I can't do it, God. I feel like that. I can't do it. I can't handle one more thing, God. If one more thing comes, God, I'm going under. That's it, Lord God. And all hope is gone. So many people feel that. Unfortunately, so many people, so many Christians even feel that. That all hope is gone. Why? All that self-effort came to nothing. All that listening to different voices of God came to nothing. That's why God says, change ships. Change what you listen to. And all hope is gone. But that's kind of good news. Because that's kind of good news, because your only hope left is God. Because there's nothing you can do. There is nothing else you can do. Lord, help. Lord Jesus, I need you. Lord God, move in my life. I repent, Lord God. Get me back on track. Lord, come. And God is so good. Like we sang that song, the goodness of God. You think he's going to let them drown? He's not going to let them drown. Why? He gave Paul a promise. You're going to Italy. You're going to Rome. And he'll never fall back in his promise, praise God. He'll never renege that promise. There was a direction set. That's what's going to happen, period. No matter what storm comes, no matter what situation arises, what God said will happen. Amen, and shut it down after that, praise God. It's a settled issue. Argument's over. Debate is over. God said it. You got to go with it. Your choice. So here comes now God. At wit's end, when there's nothing left, in verse 27, when there's nothing left, I love this, about midnight. Whoa, we know those midnight stories, don't we? About midnight, the darkest time as they were being driven across the sea, the darkest time. Here they go, verse 28, they dropped a weighted line. They dropped the anchors and found that the water was 120 feet deep. In other words, they dropped their anchors because they were being rushed ashore. They dropped their anchors to stay in place. And verse 22, I'm ahead of myself, verse 22. But here comes Paul in the middle of all this hopelessness, all right? In verse 20, it said, listen, no one has eaten for a long time. And finally, Paul called the crew together and he says something. Paul got everybody together. About 276 people on the ship, soldiers, sailors, prisoners, a couple passengers. He got everybody together. He said, men, you should have, I love this, Paul. Men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You would have avoided all this damage. I love when Paul sometimes goes, I told you so. I told you she should have listened to me. I'm not advocating that in marital relationships, but I'm just saying Paul did it, okay? Don't do that. But he says, verse 22, but take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. You're gonna make it, he's saying. You're going to make it. Hold on. We're going to get you to land. It may not be like you think, but we're going to get you there. For last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, he's setting the standards, stood beside me. That God sent a word right in the darkest time at midnight, right in the when all hope was gone, God sent a word. He sent an angel. Amen. And he said, don't be afraid. Boy, was fear on that ship. Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness, thank you, Lord, has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage. And Paul says, for I believe God, it will be just as he said. Boom, period, praise God. I believe God, it'll be just as he said. And that was encouraging to the people there. Why? Because God gave a word. God will be there in your darkest time. And that midnight hour where there's no hope and you lost your sense of direction, the stars and sun is gone, God will be there. Why? He loves you. And he made a promise to get you through, praise God. How was up to him. Don't try to box him in. Don't try to figure out, excuse me. Don't try to figure out how God's going to get you through. Because that's your first mistake. Don't limit God. Don't try to figure out how's he going to get me through this one. See, because he's so much more than us. He's so much bigger than us, praise God. He's amazing, praise God. If he made that sun and the moon and those stars, and if the Word of God says he knows all the stars by name, you don't think he forgot your name? You don't think he knows where you are? You don't think he loves you, praise God, and he's going to be right on time with a word to strengthen you, praise God? For I believe God, it'll be just like he said, praise God. But see, the sailors were going through some stuff. In verse 30, here come the sailors, and they said, the sailors tried to abandon the ship. The sailors got scared, and they lowered the lifeboat as though they were going to put out the anchors. In other words, the sailors were going to abandon ship. The sailors were, I'm out of here. They lowered the lifeboat. They were going to get out of here. But Paul, verse 31, but Paul, here comes those buts again. But Paul said to the commanding officer and soldiers, you will all die unless a sailor stay aboard. So the soldiers cut the ropes to the lifeboat and let it drift away. How are we going to get through these days? How are we going to get all the way through these days? Amen. We've got to stay together in Jesus' name. That's how, praise God. Amen. Nobody jumping ship, all right? Nobody jumping ship and trying to save yourself. How are we going to get through these days? Together, praise God. You and I, the church together, praise God. Being one together, praise God. One body, one spirit, one Christ, one heart, praise God. Staying together, staying connected, praise God. Being there for one another, praise God. Amen. That's how we'll get through. No lone wolves. Stop isolating yourself. Even those who are listening on Facebook Live, stop isolating yourself. It's just not about you. It's about us, praise God. It's that collective church, that heart of God, praise God. And that's what happens when I said before, sometimes we say things and we push people away and we become divisive, we become non-unifying. No, no. We're going to make it through together, praying together, sharing together, being there together, praise God. Knowing how each one feels, supplying needs of each other, knowing where we've come from, understanding as best we can where we've come from. When we're going through a hard day, when we speak about the issues that face our nation, okay, let's talk to you. How are you doing with this? How do you feel? What's going through your heart right now? What old stuff is coming up by what we see? Can I pray for you? Can I share your heart? Because maybe your experience is not my experience. My experience is not your experience. But I want to know what you've been through. I want to know how you see things so we can pray together, so I can understand, so I can see you and you can see me, so we can go through this together, together. Maybe not understanding everything, but accepting everyone together as a church, as a body of Christ. That's how we'll get through. That's how we'll make it, praise God. That connection. As we spoke before, as Pastor Reggie was speaking, that connection with each other, together we'll make it through. That unity, that oneness of the church of God, that's how we'll make it through, praise God. Heather, you come up, please. Check our hearts, that one care for another. Verse 33, begin to close here. Verse 33, journey's coming to an end, amen. Just as the day was dawning, you know, I love that. After all they've been through with the hope, look at the Word of God says, here comes the dawn. Look how good God is. Here comes a new day. You've been through hell. You're trying to hold the ship together. All hope is gone. You felt this and felt that. People want to leave, but you want to stay together. After all that, a new day was dawning. That's so like our God. And Paul urged everyone to eat. He said, you've been so worried that you haven't touched food for 2 weeks. He said, please eat something now for your own good, for not a hair on your heads will perish. And then he took some bread and gave thanks before the Lord, and they all broke a piece of it and they ate it. And everyone was encouraged and began to eat. In your storm, what you're going through, what are you nourishing on? What are you taking in for strength? Oh, it's tough out there. Oh, absolutely. It's crazy out there. What are you eating on? I'm not talking physical food. I'm talking that spiritual food. What are you taking in? How are you getting strong in these days that want to sap all your energy? How are you remaining hopeful in a world that wants to take away all your hope? What are you nourishing on? What are you eating on? Watching TV 8 hours? Got that little screen in your hand for 5 hours? What are we doing? On Facebook commenting, on comment for 8 hours? No wonder why we're weak and falling apart. What are you nourishing on? What are you taking into your heart to strengthen you? To give you God's heart, God's perspective, to bring that hope back in your heart, to strengthen your faith, to believe God for his word, praise God, and not doubt no matter what you see. What are you taking in? Is it God's word? Are you in the word every day? Are you in prayer, in church, praise God, when church is here, or on Facebook Live? I'm not judging, but on Facebook Live, but just taking in and feeding. What are you feeding on in a time when you need strength? It's got to be God's word. And it can't, and listen, it just can't be listening to someone else about God's word. It's got to be you in God's word. You in God's word. Oh, I listen to preachers too, but it doesn't take me away from me sitting at my home and reading God's word and meditating on God's word, getting my concordance out of it and studying God's word. What do you mean by this word, Lord? Or I didn't know you said that here previously. And you study God's word and boom, the light goes on. The faith rises, the hope comes back, the strength fills you, amen? And when that devil lies to you about hope, say, devil, just go back where you came from, praise God. I believe God. It's going to be just like he said. How can we say that? Through strength of what we nourish on, praise God. Get nourished, my people. Stay nourished in the storm. Stay nourished in the storm. In verse 40, the winds were so bad that they cut the ropes to the anchors, the things that would hold them in place, because the ship is being torn about. And they cut the anchors. Boy, I love that. I think this one spoke to me more than other scriptures right now. And sometimes you got to cut away those things that hold you down. You got to cut off those things that keep you in one spot. Because the ship is breaking up. And God wants you to get you someplace. But sometimes we're so mired in old attitudes, in old ways of thinking. Maybe we're mired in fear. What's it going to be if I cut these ropes? How are we going to get to land? It looks pretty dangerous. What's going to happen? And sometimes that fear keeps you mired down. Sometimes those angers and that pain and sorrow keeps you mired down. That doubt keeps you mired down. And God says, cut those ropes. Cut those ropes. I'm going to get you forward. Cut those ropes and maybe some of those old relationships that aren't working anymore for you right now. Some of those people that are causing you to sin, you got to cut that rope. You got to cut the rope of people in the past that said that you couldn't, and cut that rope. You got to cut that rope of people in the past that were there to bring you pain and sorrow, and you got to cut that rope so God can bring you to the safety of that harbor that he has for you. Be willing to cut those anchors. God will help you. Maybe speaking to some of you right now that I want you to cut this rope right now. It's marring you down in depression and despair and hopelessness. Cut it so I can let the currents of my love bring you to that beach, bring you to that safe place. Are you willing to cut some of those ropes, maybe of people, places, and things that we're so tied into? And God is saying, you got to let that one go. Hold on to these, yeah, but let that one go. Why? Because that's tying you down. It's your anchor. And sometimes we got to say, okay, God, okay. So here comes a ship. They're trying to get to land right now, verse 42. And the soldiers want to kill the prisoners because any prisoner escapes, the soldier who had that prisoner has got to give his own life. So their own life was at stake. So their plan was, well, let's kill all the prisoners so none escape right now. But in verse 42 and 43, the word of God says, to save Paul, he didn't kill any of the prisoners because he liked Paul. To save Paul, because he had to kill Paul too. But because Paul had such favor, he didn't kill Paul or the rest of the prisoners. And I believe that with all my heart. Because of Paul, the sailors were loosed from their bonds and they were saved in Jesus' name. Because of Christ and his church, praise God, amen. Because of the work of the church, praise God, amen, that they will be saved. The world will be loosed from its bonds and saved in the name of Jesus, praise God. The work of the church, salvation, redemption, the blood, the atonement, praise God, forgiveness of sin, that's our message. And because of that, people whose bonds are tied right now will be loose and will be saved. Why? Because of the work of the church, because of the work of Paul, but because of the grace and goodness of Christ, that none should perish, praise God, that all should come to the knowledge of him and full repentance, praise God. That's our work, praise God. That's who we are, praise God. Because of what the church does as we stand for Christ, the world, praise God, and I pray as many as we can will be saved and come to that safe harbor, that source of life, the work of the church in the storm, the source of life, hope, safety, security, stability of God's word. So my people, it was time for them to jump in the ocean. They had to jump in the water. They had to jump in and hold on to pieces of the ship, pieces of wood, 2x4s, whatever they get together. Some could swim. They swam to shore. It wasn't that far. It wasn't pretty. But the word of God said they all escaped safety to land. Throughout this whole voyage, this whole story, they all made it. Praise God. They all made it. And Paul made his way to Rome. Praise God. Let me ask you a question. The Lord is not slow concerning his promises, but that none should perish. Let me ask you a question. It's going to sound a little strange as we close. There was 276 people on this ship. 276. Soldiers, some passengers, prisoners, sailors who worked on the ship. Let me ask you a question. Out of all those sailors and soldiers and prisoners and passengers, 276, how many were total on the ship? How many? Say it again. 276? How many? Okay. Of that 276, if you know the answer to this, just shout it loud. How many were Jews? How many were Gentiles? How many were Romans? How many were black? How many were white? How many were Asian? How many were Puerto Rican? How many? We have no idea, do we? Praise God. We have no idea. Give him praise right now and say, thank you, Jesus. Come on, give him praise. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I love to read quotes. I have a lot of books of different quotes from famous people. And in light of the day, I've been reading a lot on Frederick Douglass. He said something a while ago. He said, a smile or a tear has no nationality. Joy and sorrow speak alike to all nations. And they, above all the confusion of tongues, proclaim the brotherhood of man. And that is so true. We're in this together. I don't care how many blacks were on that ship. I don't care how many Jews were on that ship. I don't care how many Italians were on that ship. There's two that I know of. I don't know how many were on there. But all I know is that they all made it together, praise God. And that's the important thing, that we make it together, praise God. Amen? Amen. Come on, give him praise. Say thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. God is good, isn't he? Let's all stand. Isn't God good? Isn't God amazing? We love God. We love Jesus. Let me pray right now. Just pray ahead. Let me pray. Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name, God, for how good you are. God, we've been singing that all day today. How good you are, Lord God. And Father, we want to give you praise and glory today, God. We want to thank you, God. Father, we've taken a boat ride today with Paul, Lord God. We've taken a journey today with Paul, Lord Jesus. And Father, we learned so many things, Lord God. So Holy Spirit, I ask you to point that thing out in our heart, God, that you want us to walk away with today, God. What's that one thing or that two things, God, that from what we heard today, from Paul's journey, Lord God, what's one or two that you want us to walk away with today, God? Maybe not every point, God, but Holy Spirit, show us what we need to change, what ship we need to get on, Lord God, what we need to do today, Lord God, to see you, Lord God, Father. Just show us, put in our heart what you desire, Lord God, for us to walk away with and start to live it in our life, Lord God. Father, we want to thank you, God, that through Paul's journey, God, we've learned so much, Lord Jesus. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you'll take us all the way through, Lord God, that you'll work deep in our hearts, Lord Jesus, to change us and grow us, God. But Father, help keep our eyes on you, God. Father, I can imagine just Paul's heart when that angel appeared to him in that darkest hour in the belly of that ship, Lord God, and spoke such words, God, of hope, God, that it'll be just like the word of God says, God. Father, today with us, Lord God, thank you that we received that word, God. We need not fear. We need not worry. We need not, Lord God, get in each other's case, Lord Jesus. We need to be kind to one another, God. Esteem one another, God. Stay connected with one another, God. As best we can, understand, Lord God, and be sensitive to what each of us have been through, Lord God, and why we feel the way we do sometimes, Lord God. So, Lord God, open our eyes that we may see, that we may see you, we may see each other, Lord God. And God, the church has the answer to what this world is asking right now, God. Just like the ship, God, everybody was saved because of Paul, Lord God. Father, let your church be that agent that you use on this world, God, to save those who are lost, God, to touch those who lost hope, God, as many of the people did on this ship, God. God, even those, God, who have to undergird the ship, who think they have to hold it all together, God. Father, let them know, God, that they really hold nothing together, but you do, Lord God. You are God. You are sovereign, and you are working all things out for your will, for your glory, and for your purposes, Lord God. Father, I thank you for this boat ride today, Lord God. I thank you that you each causes each to arrive at our destination, Lord God, whatever that may be for each and every one of us, God. But today, God, we proclaim, we believe God. It'll be just like he said. End of discussion, end of argument, God, end of debate, Lord God. We believe you. And thank you, God, for being such a good God in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed with that prayer said, amen. Amen. Come on, give him praise. Say thank you, Lord God.